It's a wonderful relationship to live with Jesus and God as my Father. Do you have that Father-Son relationship? Partaking of His nature, He's so good that I can be good to evil people. I thought of this in relation to forgiving. You know, there are two reasons why you can forgive others. One is because Jesus said, if you don't forgive others, you will not be forgiven, you'll go to hell. Oh, I don't want to go to hell. Okay, Lord, I'll forgive that wretched man. That's a very poor way of forgiving. You know how the Bible says we should forgive? Jesus threatened. Yeah, Jesus threatened. Matthew, let me read this to you. Matthew 6 and verse 15. This is a threat. It is a threat. Did Jesus threaten people? Sure. He threatened His disciples. First of all, turn to Matthew 5 and verse 1 and 2. I want to show you that verse just to show you to whom Jesus spoke the Sermon on the Mount. The multitudes were there, the crowds, but He opened His mouth, verse 1 and 2, to speak to His disciples. Don't ever forget that. The crowd was there, they were listening, because at the end of it in Matthew 7 it says the crowd said, wow, we have never heard anyone speak like this man. But He didn't speak to them. His disciples came to Him, Matthew 5:1, and He opened His mouth and taught His disciples. Okay, now, does Jesus threaten His disciples? He certainly does. Will He threaten you? Yes. What is it? Matthew 6:15. If you, now imagine you're sitting here and Jesus is speaking to you, not me, but if Jesus is here and talking to you, disciples, and saying to you, if you don't forgive others, your Father will not forgive you. Isn't that a threat? You'll go to hell. Oh, I forgive others because I'm threatened. There's another way to forgive others. This is method one. The new covenant had not yet been established when Jesus preached this. On the day of Pentecost, 3.5 years later, the new covenant was established. Then, still the message is forgive others, but in a slightly different way. Ephesians 4. Here also the message is forgive others, but it's slightly different. Listen to this. This is the person who has partaken of God's nature. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted. Again, forgiving others. How? Not because of the threat you will go to hell. No. Forgive others because God in Christ forgave you. So therefore, next verse, be imitators of God. Chapter 5, verse 1. Always skip the chapter divisions made by men and read the next verse. Very often I've been blessed by that. I have to be an imitator of God and forgive others, not because I'm afraid of going to hell. And I'll tell you this, my brothers and sisters, God is my witness when I say this. To the best of my knowledge, I've forgiven every human being who ever hurt me, as far as I can remember in my entire life, or hurt my family, or my wife, or anyone. I've forgiven all of them, not because I'm afraid to go to hell, but because I want to, it says in verse 1, imitate my heavenly Father. Like a dad will tell his son, be like me. See what I do. Learn from me. You know, you're training your child in some particular thing. Maybe you're teaching him how to fix your car. See what I'm doing. Learn from me. And like that, God is saying, learn from me. Don't you want your children to learn from you? Isn't it wonderful when a child learns from his father? I wanted my children to learn preaching from me. I hope they preach better than me, but I say, I want to train them in whatever I know I can pass on to them. A mother will want to teach her children how to cook. Learn from me. God says, learn from me. Then I try to think, what is God doing in heaven 24 hours of the day? What do you think? You think He's just listening to all the angels worshiping Him and all that? That's going on. I'll tell you what God's doing 24 hours of the day. Please listen. somewhere on the earth, Christians or non-Christians saying, "Oh God, please, I did something wrong, please forgive me." God says, "Forgiven." Within 1 second, somewhere in another part of the world is saying, "I did something, God, please forgive me." Forgiven. Some other part of the world, someone else is saying, "I did something wrong." Do you know what's happening in the world today? All the time, 24 hours of the day, in some part of the world, somebody has done something wrong, believer or unbeliever, and saying, "Oh God, please forgive me. Father, forgive me." And the Lord's saying, "Forgiven, forgiven." So I picture in my mind, every second of the whole day and of the whole year, you know what God is doing? Forgiven, 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 over there, forgiven, forgiven, here, forgiven, forgiven, forgiven. I mean, because He's God, He can do that. I can't speak to so many people at the same time. Because He's God, He's forgiving people in 1 second. He's probably forgiven 1,000 people. Next second, another 1,000, I don't know how many. Forgiven, forgiven, forgiven. I say, God, let me be an imitator of God. It says here, be imitators of God in relation to forgiving others. I want to ask you, my brothers and sisters, is that how you forgive people? Let's begin at home. There's an English saying that love begins at home, or the old way, charity begins at home. Do you forgive your wife or your husband as soon as they did something wrong? Before they ask forgiveness? See, God cannot forgive until a person repents. But we ought to forgive even before he repents. That's how Jesus did on the cross. Those guys who crucified him, they didn't repent. No. They didn't repent till the end of their life, most of them. But he said, forgive them. God will deal with them. That's the vertical thing. But in a horizontal way, I have to forgive people even if they don't repent. And I said, Lord, what about believers? These were unbelievers who crucified Christ. I want to be honest. In Luke 17, he said, now this is not talking about unbelievers, verse 3. You're a fellow believer. Your brother sins. Correct him. If he repents, forgive him. What if he doesn't repent? That's another question. If he sins against you 7 times a day in 12 hours in a day, that means every 1.5 hours he's doing something wrong. And he says, forgive, forgive me. After another 1.5 hours again, he says, he does something wrong, forgive me. Apply that to your wife or your husband. Every 1.5 hours. Have you ever had a day like this? Every 1.5 hours, he or she does something wrong against you. Serious. I don't think your wife or husband are that bad, that every 1.5 hours they are doing something wrong, seriously wrong. But Jesus said, even if that happens, forgive. And the apostles said, please give us faith for that, Lord. Increase our faith. Then what about a believer who does something wrong? Matthew 18. You know, I'm trying to teach you scripture. Verse 15. If your brother, now it is a brother, not an unbeliever. Those Pharisees who crucified Christ were unbelievers. This is now a brother. Sins against you, go and tell him. Listen, that's wrong the way you did it. If he's an unbeliever, forget it. Forgive him without saying anything to him. He crucified you, okay, forgive him. But your brother, he sins against you, he's lost fellowship with God, go and tell him. Try to win him, says. But he doesn't listen to you. Tell others, because you want him to be restored to God. He doesn't refuse, he refuses to listen to them also, verse 17. Tell it to the church. This is talking about some serious error. And if he doesn't listen to the church, you should treat that brother from that moment onwards as an unbeliever. That's what it says here in verse 17. You told him, other brothers told him, the church told him, he still wouldn't listen. This is talking about some serious sin, a man committed against the church. I must treat him like an unbeliever. So what? Can I forgive him now? Of course. Because unbelievers must be forgiven immediately, even without repentance. Do you understand that? That's the next sentence. Treat him like an unbeliever, and you forgive an unbeliever, even if he doesn't repent. Till now you're waiting for him to repent. You spoke to him, he did not repent. Two others spoke to him, he did not repent. The church spoke to him, he did not repent. Now, don't wait for him to repent. Now just forgive him. Because he's an unbeliever. Have you understood that? Very clear to me. I treat him as a believer up until the time he tries best to get him to repent. He doesn't repent, he's become an unbeliever, then I forgive him immediately. Yeah. This is true Christianity. But why was I trying to get him to repent as a believer? So that I can have fellowship with him. With an unbeliever, I can have no fellowship. Jesus did not have any fellowship with the people who killed him. He forgave them. There are people in the world who I've forgiven 100%, but I have zero fellowship with them. There are believers who have harmed me. I have forgiven them before God 100%, but I have zero fellowship with them. Like, I don't meet them. They have no interest in fellowship with me. I have no interest in fellowship with them. I've forgiven them. If they repent, I can have fellowship, not otherwise. This is God's word. I don't try to be holier than God. I don't try to be holier than Jesus, who would tell the Pharisees, even though you killed me, I'd like to have fellowship with you. No, I'll forgive you. But if you don't repent, I can't have fellowship. I've seen that through the years, that I long for fellowship with all of God's children. But if they don't repent of their sins, I treat them like unbelievers. I forgive them, but there's no fellowship. So that's why I don't feel condemned that there are certain believers in the world I have no fellowship with. And if you're honest, you'll find that. But make sure you're forgiven them. That is, be imitators of God who's always forgiving. So there's no excuse for not forgiving.